Ukraine weapons bill okays more migration. By Neil Munro on May 11, 2022. Republican legislators helped ordinary Americans by killing two of three pro-migration plans in the Democrats' bill to deliver $17 billion in weaponry to Ukraine. In closed-door talks, GOP legislators blocked plans to award green cards to many Russian college graduates and roughly 40,000 Afghans, and eventually, to their families. Their arrival would help investors and employers but would deflate ordinary Americans' wages and inflate their housing costs. But there is bad news for Americans. The GOP did not block funding for the movement of many Ukrainian migrants into the United States. The Ukrainians are entering via the parole side door in the border that is being forced open by President Joe Biden's pro-migration border chief, Alejandro Mayorkas. The funding support covers all Ukrainians admitted until September 2023. "I don't see any limits whatsoever on the numbers," said Kevin Lynn, founder of U.S. Tech Workers. "They won't get a pathway to citizenship yet, but just wait, that will happen," Lynn added. "Migrants can get green cards via marriage or by asking for adjustment of status," he said. "The better strategy, for Ukraine, is to force the peace process, something this administration doesn't seem to want to do," he said. At least 19,000 Ukrainians have applied to enter the U.S. via the parole side door, and at least 6,000 have been approved, according to a May 9 report by Bloomberg News. They're dusting off the same playbook from Afghanistan, where taxpayers were put on the hook to pay for the resettlement of otherwise ineligible foreign nationals, said Robert Law, the regulatory chief at the Center for Immigration Studies. "Not only are they circumventing our immigration laws with the parole side door, but American taxpayers have to pay for it too," he added. 57 GOP legislators voted against the final bill. The Senate is expected to approve the bill. Republican legislators understand that most of their voters oppose more migration. For example, most Americans want to help Ukrainian refugees, but just one in three say they support permanent residency for more than 50,000 refugees, according to a March poll by Rasmussen Reports. Yet many GOP legislators quietly favor the inflow of more workers, especially if those workers are prevented from voting to place Democrats in the Republicans' political jobs, LatinoRebels.com reported on May 10. "There are problems with having enough workers," Senator Rand Paul, RKY, said. "I'm not against legal immigration. In fact, I'm for more legal immigration. I have a bill that would double the amount of employment-based visas. I have a bill that would allow some categories of H-2 visas to go into H-2A. H-2B is capped. H-2A is not. So we would allow horse workers and landscape workers to be considered H-2A. That's an expansion of work-based visas." Paul concedes that not every Republican senator supports his proposals to expand work-based visas. "A handful, or 10 or 15, might support his reform proposals," he said. "If you combine that with most of the Democrats, then you'd have incremental immigration reform." Still, the GOP's forced exclusion of the Afghan Adjustment Act and the Russian inflow are good news for blue-collar and white-collar Americans, who would face increased competition for jobs and housing from the additional Afghan and Russian migrants. The White House's draft bill would have allowed a wide range of Russian college graduates into the U.S. economy, Mark Perkorian, director of the Center for Immigration Studies, told Breitbart News. "The message to U.S. professionals was that Uncle Sam wants you to suffer wage depression to ensure that a larger portion of Ukraine is under the government of Kyiv but not Moscow," he added. Republican legislators are also resisting another push by business lobbies to allow the inflow of more foreign graduates. The push is part of the House bill that would spend tens of billions of dollars to help U.S. companies compete against China's government-backed technology companies. In effect, the lobbyists for the Fortune 500 companies say that CEOs need to import Chinese and Indian workers to beat China companies, even though millions of Americans are underpaid, underused, or sidelined. U.S. graduates are already being forced to compete for jobs and decent wages against the little-recognized population of roughly 1.5 million college-trained contract workers extracted from India, China, and other poor countries. Most college graduates have actually seen their real income stagnate or even decline since 2000, says New York Times columnist Paul Krugman. Many of those who did manage to graduate found that the financial rewards were far smaller than they expected. He said in an April 29 article that ignored immigration while urging more government spending to reduce unpaid college debt. Blue-collar Americans are losing out as President Joe Biden accelerates the inflow of migrants across the southern border. In 2021, his deputies allowed more than 1 million migrants through the border, so further deflating Americans' wages and spiking the inflation of their housing costs. Extraction migration. Since at least 1990, the D.C. establishment has extracted tens of millions of migrants and visa workers from poor countries to serve as legal or illegal workers, temporary workers, consumers, and renters for various U.S. investors and CEOs. This economic strategy of extraction migration has no stopping point. It is brutal to ordinary Americans because it cuts their career opportunities, shrinks their salaries and wages, raises their housing costs, and has shoved at least 10 million American men out of the labor force. Extraction migration also distorts the economy and curbs Americans' productivity, partly because it allows employers to use stoop labor instead of machines. Migration also reduces voters' political clout, undermines employees' workplace rights, and widens the regional wealth gaps between the Democrats' coastal states and the Republicans' heartland and southern states. An economy built on extraction migration also alienates young people and radicalizes Americans' democratic compromise, promoting civic culture because it allows wealthy elites to ignore despairing Americans at the bottom of society. The policy is hidden behind a wide variety of excuses and explanations, such as the claim that the U.S. is a nation of immigrants or that Americans have a duty to accept foreign refugees. But the economic strategy also kills many migrants, exploits poor people, splits foreign families, and extracts wealth from the poor home countries. The economic policy is backed by progressives who wish to transform the U.S. from a society governed by European origin civic culture into a progressive-led empire of competing identity groups. We're trying to become the first multiracial, multi-ethnic superpower in the world, Representative Rohit Khanna, DCA, told The New York Times on March 21. It will be an extraordinary achievement. We will ultimately triumph, he insisted. Not surprisingly, the wealth-shifting extraction migration policy is very unpopular, according to a wide variety of polls. The polls show deep and broad public opposition to labor migration and the inflow of foreign contract workers into jobs sought by young U.S. graduates. The opposition is growing: anti-establishment, multiracial, cross-sex, non-racist, class-based, bipartisan, rational, persistent, and recognizes the solidarity that Americans owe to one another.